Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
923, I'll give you a correct in the drive, but you have a fire in a one story. Ordinary, looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5.
Hello, is anybody out there?
I'm out here.
This is Sean.
Mike?
Is OJ around?
OJ, you out there, buddy? The bagpipe scared me a little bit. Yeah, I don't know either. He says he can hear us all.
I'm going to try the browser to see if it's live right now. I haven't heard anything from OJ yet.
Okay.
Well, any listeners out there, we're trying to work on our technical difficulties, guys.
First time at this.
Very first, yeah. Me and you, Sean, are the only people that got logged in. It's scary, buddy.
Yeah, so it is. I just turned it on the browser, so if OJ wants to join his show, that will be fine.
Okay, OJ. Come on, join the show, OJ. Come on.
All right, well, for anybody that's listening, my name's Sean Donovan, Boston Fire and Ladder 4, and this is, we do have listeners, and Mike Torres, you can go ahead and do yourself, buddy.
How you doing? Mike Torres, Chicago Fire.
Sean.
Signed to Tower 34.
Hi. Oh.
Woo. That sounds good.
Sean. Hey. Hey, Mr. Host showed up.
Hey, can you hear me?
We hear you.
Man, I tell you, this technology is awesome, man. What's going on?
Man.
You guys introduce yourself?
Yeah, we just finished up.
Oh, well, awesome, awesome. For some reason, we don't have Brian on with us. You know, those West Coast guys. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably fishing or surfing out there. But anyway, yeah, this is the Truck Appreciation Show. I appreciate everybody listening in. On this show, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce ourselves and tell everybody what clicked for us and what made us go into truck work. Sean, did you already start doing that?
No.
Yeah, Sean was already. Sean, you can definitely start, though, if you want to now.
Oh, yeah? You want me to just go ahead and start doing the thing here?
Yeah, you know what? You were such a big hit. You started off real strong. I didn't want to, steal your win, buddy. You were there, and I didn't want to take it.
All right, well, you sounded like a deer in the headlights, so I had to do something.
Absolutely, I was. I admit it, buddy. You definitely saved me.
Awesome. Sean, do you want to go ahead and start, and we'll go around?
All right, I'll do that. So this is Sean. I've been on Boston Fire for 16 years. I got a chance to work at our fire academy. And I think we're kind of different in that everybody drives every apparatus. So if you're on any company, you get to drive once the officer decides it's time for you to drive. We don't have a chauffeur position. And also, when you first get on, you can get assigned to an engine or a truck. You don't have to go to an engine first or something like that. So I was lucky enough to get started on a truck in the East Boston part of town. And pretty much wherever you start is where you stay. So if you get on a truck, then you're on a truck forever. You know, you learn whatever you learn first is what you get stuck on. And I got stuck on the truck work. I liked it. I liked the trying to figure out problems, trying to make things easier for the engine company. Definitely loved going up and playing on roofs. But that's how I initially got, was just dumb luck. I got sent to a truck in a part of town that nobody wanted to go to because traffic getting there kind of sucked. So so I got a truck, and it was a slower truck, but it was a part of town where people didn't like calling 911. So when they called, it was something was actually going on, which was great. And then I went from there to a heavy rescue, which is kind of like modified truck work without the aerial. And I liked that. And then I went on to an engine, oddly enough. I went to an engine after truck and heavy rescue. And I saw the engine side of it. And I appreciated good truck work a little bit more after being on an engine. And I really got to thinking that maybe it does make sense that you should start on an engine and then go to a truck, because then you see what the engine folks are trying to get done, what they're trying to accomplish. And that's, I think it finally clicked for me that I want to be on a truck after, I don't know, a dozen years in or 10 years in after I was on an engine. And then when I got promoted, you know, junior lieutenant, you take whatever spot you can get. I ended up on an engine again as boss, and got to work with some really good truck guys. And it really drove it home that good truck work really helps out engine work. And about that time, I went down to RFI Academy, and RFI Academy was just starting to change with Commissioner Finn. He wanted more emphasis on engine work, which was kind of new for us. Our academy was obviously heavy on ladders, heavy on ground ladders, heavy on truck work. And that's got a long history. We got the benefit of the Liars Club down there, the retirees. They come down every Wednesday, and we could go in there and talk to them. They're a great resource for me when I was putting together my FDIC classes, because I'd go in there and talk to them. One of the guys, retired drill master, Spanky Sullivan was his name. He would talk, and he would say that, you know, when they came down to the fire academy, they would just learn how to move ladders and things like that, because you could be expected to do that your first day in the firehouse. All the engine stuff, you wouldn't be allowed to do that anyways, because nobody would trust you on the pipe. His idea when he was the drill master, probably in the 80s, was just learn truck stuff, because you have to be able to contribute if you got to throw a ladder or something like that. Engine stuff was kind of pushed to the back because that was a seniority thing in the companies, and you would have to learn that separate. But pulling a ladder, anybody could throw a ladder anytime. And that kind of carried over until recently. And it's still there, but now we've added engine work and kind of stretched our academy a little bit more. One of the other guys I talked to when I was doing my FDIC research was Al Lynch. And he was on ladder four for back in the 80s also. If you see any black and white pictures of somebody on a roof in Boston from the 80s, it's probably Al Lynch. He loved using adz and axe, and he usually had the tools really high in the air. People love to get pictures of that. And he really kind of summed it up for me. He said that, you know, when we go to a fire, I'm going to that roof no matter what, and I'd like to go my own way if possible. And he was he's just a great guy. He just wanted to go up there and help whoever's up there vent the roof. But he wanted to take his own way, and that was part of the company pride thing. And that's part of the reason why Boston Trucks, we always throw our own aerial, because we want to go up on our own aerial. We don't want to take somebody else's. It's kind of a little bit of a shame thing if you have to take somebody else's aerial, but you still got to do it. But Al's words really stuck in my mind. That I'm going up there no matter what. And that really kind of sums up how we use aerials. You know, we're going up no matter what. He even told the story. They had a bent one, and he liked to put it around corners of buildings because it's kind of bowed to the left a little bit. So it's things like that. Even when we didn't have great equipment, the truck work stayed. So The other thing with truck work is I like the access and egress. Like, I'm going to – I need to help the engine company get their job done. The better I do my job, the better the engine can do theirs, or the more efficient they can do theirs. And that goes with forcing doors. Our SOP, we don't have anymore. It got deleted, and we're moving on to some newer SOPs. But our SOP used to say that the truck company sends the open-up guy, the Halligan or Ions guy, with the engine to open up for them. And we've kind of modified that to our open-up guy will power level for the engine company, and all they have to do is keep up. So the trucks go in first, and trucks lead the way in Boston, and I enjoy that a lot. So that's about it for me. Anyone else? You guys? Mike or OJ? Anybody? I'm here all
hey,
by
Sean.
Myself. So.
Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, question for you. Are you, the city of Boston, is it more truck heavy or is it equal to engine companies?
We're about two to three. For every two trucks, there's three engines. So there's something
okay.
like 34 engine companies and then 22 trucks.
Okay. So, like, say if you get a single alarm, how many trucks will you get on there?
Two trucks. Three engines, two trucks, and a heavy rescue. And then if it's confirmed fire – oh, sorry. And they send an extra engine as the writ engine. So four engines, two trucks, and then a confirmed fire, they send another truck as a writ.
Okay, so that last truck automatically knows you're then. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Mike.
Yes.
Mike. Hey, go ahead and tell us what clicked for you to want to go to the truck side.
Well, I did not even start on a truck. I've always been an engine guy. I actually started in the suburbs about a little over 19 years ago. I got 11 years on the city, and on the city – before that, I was a volunteer. I worked part-time places. I still work for the same department I worked as a part-time. And I love the place. We don't have trucks, but we do truck work and truck activities. And I've always liked that side of it, doing truck things that, you know, you're doing a massive amount of work. You're really going to town. You have to think 13 steps ahead of the game. Not, you know, I see like an engine guy being like a zombie, like hose on ground, water on fire. Granted, they do a majority of the work. I mean, let's not be silly, but I like doing more. I wanted to do more. I like to be alone. I like to work alone, get the rear, you know, open the door up for them, get to the roof. I mean, just so many things you can do. And then I really enjoyed that. So when I learned that, you know, when I got to the city, there's truckmen and then there's, you know, engine guys. And I'm like, wow. That's what I want to do. It was like a little kid. I'm like, I get to throw ladders. I get to do everything I want to do and extrication. So it was that, man, truck is what I need to do. I think I need to be a truck guy. I really do. And being on the city, it's just eye-opening. I mean, it was so, you know, it like overwhelmed me and consumed me with like, man, I don't know half of what I need to know, and I need to sharpen my game. I need to learn from senior guys and study and listen and take as much as I can in and get more involved. I try to do as much as I possibly can to get on top of that. And with that, I evolved, and I'm like, man, I really want to stay on top of this. I want to be really good at throwing ladders. I wanted to, you know, really be good at extrication, doing search. Anything a truck guy would involve doing, that's what I wanted to be a part of. So there's really no rhyme or reason from out of the academy in the city that you go to an engine and you go to a truck. It's random. We have a randomizer, a machine that just says, hey, you're going here. That's it. You know, try to put a transfer in if you want to go somewhere busier or so on and so forth. But you go to an engine or a truck, which is kind of nice. And from there, you know, you kind of evolve a little bit and grow into being, you know, what you want to be. I mean, I try to listen to as many senior guys as I possibly can, driving the rigs. When I finally got to drive, that was amazing. Driving a tower, holy cow, I didn't know about the basket. You know, it sticks in front of the rig. I was so naive. And I had to learn all this stuff. You know, I wasn't accustomed to it. I was accustomed to driving an engine, pumping, you know, that seemed easy for me. Now I'm driving this rig that's twice the size, twice as long, twice as tall, and I got to spot it with a turntable. I had to learn all this, and I really tried to get ingrained into that, and that's what I did. I realized, like, this is it. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be great at it, and as much as I can, I'll keep on trying. I am by no means great. I have a lot of learning to do. I just came back from Wisconsin today teaching with a host of great guys, great firemen, Ron Smith, Josh Webb, Jeff Waffelmeyer, Ty Rondeau, guys from Kansas City Moj, John Young. These guys, I'm blown away. I'm like, oh, man, great idea. I'm going to use that, you know, and we just bounce ideas, and that's how I'm still learning to be that truck guy, that, you know, mastering my craft, at least the truck guy. So that's pretty much my story, how I got into that.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, waiting on Brian. Brian just sent his message. He's supposed to be calling. I am waiting for his call to come through, and once it comes through, then I will patch him in and tell his story. But while we're waiting, I'll go ahead and tell you guys what, for me. I am not a Birmingham native. I was born and raised in Chicago. On the north side, Mike. I know you don't really like the north side, but that's okay. Do what? Anyway, I was born on the north side. I grew up in a neighborhood called Jefferson Park. Mike may know where it is, but I grew up around Engine 108, Tower Ladder 23. They really didn't do much, but I was just really, really fascinated with both pieces of apparatus. I just fell in love with the fire service, the fire department, just being around those guys up there. Then, you know, life happens, you move away, and joined the military, went to the Navy, and then, you know, did some time there, came out of the military, and I used to skateboard, and that was my thing. I really enjoyed skateboarding, and then got hurt, and I had to follow the passion, had to join the fire service. So my mother was down here in Birmingham, long story short, that's how I got down here. I took Birmingham's test, and that's how I got hired. Once I got hired and went through the academy, and let me tell you just a little bit about Birmingham Fire Department. Birmingham is a good-sized city with a really good fire department, and we have a good bit of fire. We have 32 stations right at 700 people when full, and we actually get a good bit of fire down here. Birmingham, a lot of people really just don't understand how much fire we get here. Now, the western part of our city, they do get a little bit more than everybody else, but Birmingham, for the most part, gets a good bit of fire. Anyway, when I first came out of the academy, just like everybody else, no rhyme or reason, you're just assigned. So at the time when I came out, we had a thing called the pool system. The pool system was basically everybody else. It's a detail system. If you're short, the low man, he gets sent off. There's pros and cons to that. The pros were I got sent off, but a good majority of the time I was sent off to a truck or a quint. And at the time when I first got hired with Birmingham, they used to be very truck heavy. They were modeled after Chicago at one time. We had a bunch of snorkels in the city. And then, you know, as time progresses, things change. The quint comes in, and that's a different show. But the quint came in, and the truck guys were kind of put on the quint, and they were kind of confused because they were just used to doing truck work. But anyway, I'd get sent out to these stations, and I'd meet these truck guys, and to me, they were larger than life because they were just they were the end-all, be-all of the fire service for me. They, every time they showed up on scene, everybody would just, they would look at them for the answer. And that just really, that really attracted me to the truck side. Been on about a year and a half, then I got assigned to the heavy rescue. Again, that was more truck work type style there. My mentor at the time had two of them at the time. They're both lieutenants. And they really pointed me in the direction of, you know, truck work and doing the right thing. And it just really, really caught on with me. And I just fell in love with it. The South, I'm not going to say everything in the South, but I'll say most of the places in the Deep South, some of the truck culture is dying. And that's one reason why we came up with the little company we did, to try to bring the history of the truck work back that was here at one time in the Deep South. So we're getting that word out. But other than that, that's my story. That's what clicked with me with truck work, is because when we were drive on scene, these guys were larger than life to me, and I wanted to be like them. So since most of these guys are gone now, if I can honor their legacy by trying to keep pushing what they instilled in me, then that speaks volumes to me. But that's my story.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey. Good to finally get you guys on. I've been away from my phone, so I'm blowing up. Who all do you got there right now?
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Hey, listen, go ahead and tell us your story. How'd you get on the truck side and how you got in the fire service and all that?
Well, it's pretty simple. About 29 years ago when I got into the fire service, I worked for a fire department that had all the trucks at the double houses. And as a new firefighter, I was placed at a double house where I got to train under both engine captains and truck captains, and was introduced to some very aggressive and progressive truck companies. And the whole problem solving and thinking outside the box and not just your bread and butter operations really drew me. Needing the mechanical aptitude and so forth was right up my alley. So I naturally started progressing towards truck work and was taken under some guidance and leadership from Edward Hadfield and a handful of L.A. City guys, and pretty quickly found myself mentored underneath a few of them, teaching truck academies and truck work, and specifically ventilation and forcible entry. And after teaching with most of those guys for the last probably 25 years, and then subsequently getting hired by Seattle, I put 22 years on the truck in Seattle and never looked back. So my life and everything I do has been truck-centered, and it's my passion, and it's just grown and developed. And now I find it my responsibility to pass on all the stuff that's been given to me to our next generation of truckies.
Awesome. Hey, let me ask you a question, Brian. What is the truck-to-engine ratio out there? Is it equal, or is it more, or how is it run out in the Seattle side?
Well, in the city of Seattle specifically, we've got 34 engine companies and 11 ladder truck companies. We're about to gain at least one more truck company, if not two. Most of my travels and departments that I would say that are properly resourced truck-wise is a truck for every three engine companies is ideal, and that's providing at least three members per truck
Okay, we lost you for a second.
Gotcha. We're just doing a test here, right?
No, we're on the air.
that's tomorrow. We're on the air tomorrow, right?
Negative, you're talking right now.
Perfect.
At least the tech guys to screw everything up, right?
Yeah. Awesome. I'm still trying to figure this out, so bear with me.
Well, I
we're so well prepared for this, right? Ryan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's pretty broken up. I'm not sure what I can do on my end.
Let me see. Need that. Can you hear me now, Brian?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I tell you, technology is our fantastic friend. So, you train, who do you guys train with? What private company do you have out there, Brian?
Edward Hadfield started the company Firetown Training Specialists. I've been teaching with them since 97, and we pretty much have predominantly been a West Coast-driven truck academy. We do everything from full five-day truck academies to captain's colleges, engineer certifications, aerodynamics, and a host of other classes that I'm not directly involved in, a couple officer development classes. But I've primarily focused on the engineer, aerodynamics, and ventilation and truck academy side.
Awesome. Let's see. Sean. Hey, Sean.
Yes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about what you teach out there on the East Coast or all around?
Well, my class? So my class kind of came out of nowhere. I had no intention of ever doing any of this stuff. But when I was riding for Firefighter Basics, because I had, just like everybody you hit at some point in your career where you just get frustrated and the only way out is to write stuff down. I met up with Marcus Bush, and he's like, hey, I got a website you can write stuff for. And as it went on, we decided that everybody that wrote for Firefighter Basics had to submit to FDIC. So I just submitted. I had no idea what I was going to do. I just literally threw some words down. And then they accepted me, which was a big surprise to me, because now I had to go back and see what I told them I was going to do a class on. So I had to actually do research on what I said I was going to do, and I guess the class came out pretty good. I did most of my research was with the guys down at the Fire Academy, the retirees, and like Billy Noonan, awesome fire photographer. I bounced all the stuff off of them just to make sure I was on the right page, and the class went pretty good, and people started asking me to do a hands-on class, which I don't know how I was supposed to do that with a class that's based on the history of Boston Ladders, but about the third year, I just started going out with so many people. Like that's how I met Mike Torres, and who else did we end up hanging out with? Oh, I can't remember. We were doing a bunch of random classes. I was helping out. Oh, yeah, the Holden one-on-ones, Schneckel and Dowling. And then we went to Art of Firemanship in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and helped out Gary Lane just by accident, and it worked out good. Like, it was fun. We had a good time, and the ladder thing just started kind of coming out of there, and I just started stealing everybody else's stuff and claiming it as my own, and pretty soon we had a decent ladder class going. I think this is the first actual year that we're going to maybe make some money off the class, because we've just basic idea of the class is that we don't do anything fancy. We don't do anything that's like department specific, like you need to have this, you need to have that. We definitely don't do this is how Boston does it. It's just stuff that we've picked up from other people when we go and do this class. Because just like you guys, there's no point in going to a class if you think you know everything. Even if you're trying to teach it, if you think you know everything, then you're probably not doing the right thing. And we learn so much from other people about just keeping stuff simple, making efficient work, and kind of picking up some of the slack where other classes were letting off. Just like there's plenty of ladder classes out there, but there's not a lot of ladder classes that make you climb the ladder and work from the ladder. And I feel like that's a big disservice. So a lot of our classes is working from the ladder. And I think that that's an important thing. I'm not a big fan of decorating the building. I just think that's a waste of time. So we're trying to get the mentality out there that if you're going to throw the ladder, you're going to use the ladder. Don't just throw ladders for something that might happen later. I mean, that's a good idea for egress, but you don't need to throw every ladder for something that might come up later. So throw the ladder because you have a job to do. You're going to do something with that ladder. And that's kind of where the class is and what we're doing with the class. So it's easier ways to throw ladders, 1- and 2-person operations. I don't think anything takes 3 people. And then we just do lines over ladders and like double hops and things like that. It's real simple evolutions, but a lot of times if your department doesn't do it, then you don't know it exists. And that's kind of the block, and I'm sure everybody has seen that. Oh, we don't do that in my department. Well, why not? You know, it's not crazy. It makes sense to try it. Why aren't you trying it? So that's what we're doing. OJ.
Yeah, I've helped Sean with his. I've helped Sean with his class. He's a phenomenal instructor. It's a lot of fun. If you ever get a chance to take one of his classes, I highly suggest it. It's really a good time. Let's see, Mike. Hello, Mike. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you teach up there on the northern part of the country and who you teach with?
I'm like a mercenary. I go where guys want to learn, where other guys I teach with want to be part of that, and they want to do that. They want to, work on ladders. I'm a big ladder guy, ground ladders. I agree with Sean. We don't do enough work on them. We throw them a decent amount, kind of, sort of, but it's kind of a weak subject. And I like to work on the way the most of us teach, you know, guys like I teach with Arthur Ashley. Arthur's a great dude. There's so many guys you want to leave names out from everywhere and anywhere, from small to large departments. Jared Smith from a smaller department to another larger department. We do a lot of teaching with minimum manpower. So meaning truck work with either a no truck or just 3 guys, right? I mean, Boston, ourselves, New York, Kansas City, Mo, larger departments, we could put the fire out by just, you know, filling a room out and taking a breath. We'll probably take all the air out and put it out, right? We stuff it out with manpower. I think if we just learn to do things with very minimal manpower, and that's the way in the style that we all like to teach with. We don't try to say, hey, you know, I go back to how I learned. I learned with 2 guys on an engine or 2 guys on a rig, doing truck work, maybe 3 guys. You got to throw those ladders, do all this stuff. And it's basically, we can do with, you know, I've taught with Shawnee, we like to just teach manpower friendly, meaning what can we do with 3 guys, maybe 4 at best, and getting all these tasks done, what a truck company should do in that time frame, you know? So I think we're all, when we teach truck classes, they're pretty much all the same, but I focus, I'm a big ground ladder guy. I know Sean doesn't like to hear it, but tying the halyard, I'm a big halyard tie guy, and things, you know, proper healing, the fundamentals, hey, stop it. I know you're going to say it. Don't say it. I just was with Kansas City Mo guys. They're like, yeah, we don't tie them either. I said, I got a trick for you when I see you later on, buddy. it don't matter to me. We are so much on the same wavelength, Sean and I and other guys I teach with. We are, it's like, hey, we share the same brain when it comes to doing ladder work or any trucking work. But we definitely focus on minimum manpower.
How long have you been teaching up there, Mike?
You know what? I started
it's funny you say that. I had a mentor named Anthony Volpe. He was a hard-headed. His uncle's on Squad 5. He's a fireman captain, so on and so forth. And he was a very hard-headed, you know, tough love kind of fireman. And he said, hey, Mike, one day, whatever I show you, don't put a price on it. You know, if you could teach it for free. Don't charge people, Mike. You pass this on. It's good information. I think that phrase started at a very young infancy, maybe, I don't know, 7 years on the job. And I didn't know much. I actually didn't know anything, and it hasn't really changed. But I just was real lucky with mentors, senior guys, people I followed and taught with. I've gotten incredibly lucky and learned so much, so much from these people. And it's been a long ride, and I can't believe I'm on a blog live radio. You know, I can't believe it. I know it sounds cheesy, but I just don't believe in myself sometimes.
Well, you should. And I'm honored that all you guys are. I'm honored that all you guys agreed to do this show with me. You know, who would have thought one day that we'd have to show a person from Alabama, Seattle, and Boston sitting here talking about truck work? Yeah, truck work's the same, but it's different throughout all parts of the country. I sure do appreciate you guys being on here with me. Let me tell you a little bit about how we got started down here in Birmingham with our company. We've only been in business just a couple years. It'll be 2 years this November. And we were sitting around, and they were talking about doing a truck academy for our state fire school. And we kept talking and talking, and then finally we decided we're going to do it. So we had to identify the people that we wanted to do this company with. Try to target the go-getters, the hard chargers, the guys that just love the craft, that are just eat up with it. You know, the fire service is their hobby pretty much. When they leave the fire station, they go home and they study something to deal with the fire service. That's the people we were looking for. And the group that I found, just fantastic guys. Some people may be a little upset because some of them are a little younger and they say, well, they don't have the experience. Well, they do have the experience with the training. So we're very proud of what we started down here in Alabama. It's like I said earlier, I hope that we can bring the truck culture somewhat back to life down here in the Deep South. Hey, Sean. Sean, you there?
Yeah, OJ, what's up?
Nothing. I think it's going to be time to, if anybody wants to take a phone call or two, we'll have some people call in. The number is 760-454-8852. If anybody wants to call in, ask a question, this will be time to do it. Because we'll just continue to sit here and talk amongst ourselves. So if anybody wants to call in and ask a question, this is the time to do it now. Brian.
Yes, sir.
You working today?
No, scheduled to work tomorrow and off today.
Oh,
pleasure
awesome.
To get to chat with you guys. And, yeah, I think we're all kind of on the exact same page. I love what I'm hearing from you guys. We're speaking the same language, philosophies on ladders and purpose-driven work, task-specific work. Specifically what we were talking about with ladders. I've never been a big fan of doing just in case operations until maybe the third or fourth truck is on scene can do that. We're very truck heavy. We typically get 3 to 4 trucks on any good working fire in Seattle. But regardless of that, when we show up on scene, we're overtasked. And I've got 4 to 5 guys to do a lot of work really quick, and it is specific to the needs of that incident at that time based on our priorities and the information that we acquire on scene. I'm not a big fan of just dumping my ladder bed just to do it. I'm not a fan of taking ladders to the Charlie side just to do it. I don't cut holes in roofs that don't need holes. I'm very specific in getting in there and doing task-specific work.
Yeah, we may have touched a little bit of a nerve with the ladders. A lot of guys, they focus on, let's paint the building aluminum, you know, the what if. To me, that's using a lot of energy that could be dealt into another task. You know, just to me, if you throw the ladder, be strategic with it.
Yeah, absolutely, spot on. If I'm throwing a ladder, it's for a purpose. It's not just to check a box or to make it look pretty in some photo. After the fact, when you look at post-fire, we may have a lot of ladders up, but they weren't just done just to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Brian. I think the only time that's like a first due truck will throw ladders is if it's rescue. Otherwise, we have stuff to do inside. We have to go inside and try to find the people, try to create access for the engine, all these other things that are not throwing ladders. And, yeah, if we get up a couple of line levels, yeah, there's going to be a lot of ladders up, but it's probably not the first or second due. It usually comes out to be like maybe a Rick truck will throw a ladder. When they show up and they see a need for a ladder, they'll throw ladders, do a little bit of proactive laddering. But if the fire's going good, they're going to end up going inside and going to work, whether it's finishing the surge or creating more openings for the engine companies that are coming. So I'm with you on that. And we're talking about the work, the amount of work. I agree with the all the work is for me. You know, when my company shows up, all the work that needs to be done, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to do everything. And if your truck shows up after us, then hopefully there's nothing left for you to do. So that's...
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. I like that mentality. And I guess you could, I could stem off of that and say when I am the second truck, I expect that first truck to be shoulders deep in work and to find out how I can integrate into what they haven't done or to add on to what they are currently doing. So a rapid face-to-face or radio comms with the first in truck is essential, and that way we have a seamless continuation of operations on the fire scene.
You guys are fortunate. We only get one truck on our first alarm assignment. And, you know, just like everybody else, where it's multitask with what we have to do. So a lot of times, let me ask you guys this, a lot of times we're having to work by ourselves. What are you guys thinking about the truck guys having to work by themselves?
I love it.
What?
I
love it. Go ahead.
Sorry, I love it. We occasionally, ladder four was the last single truck house in the city of Boston. And, you know, it was ladder four only for the large fire. The firebox had a firehouse in the city that's assigned to the truck. Usually it's like, even though we have an engine with us. But I love it. I love getting there first and the engine's a little bit delayed. Because then I can call off with ladder four only on the radio. It's kind of like a little throwback to the good old days, kind of honoring the history a little bit. But we can still do work without the engine. We can still go into search. We can go shut doors. We can do a whole bunch of other stuff without the engine. And when they come, they can bring their hose inside, and we'll have a nice, easy pass for them.
Thank you.
Sorry, that's all I got.
I love
you guys out west. Time you guys work together.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that really divides West Coast operations. Is, you know, I would say that in Seattle and a handful of other departments, we are as equally aggressive and as effective as any other truck company in the nation. But we have rules that we have to abide by. We're a very rule-driven fire service on the West Coast. My job would be on the line if I was to work independently or by myself at just about any time. having said that, that is probably why Seattle justifies sending three trucks to any working incident. We're going to have the bodies and the resources there to take care of the tasks that we have, but at a minimum, we're going to be doing it as pairs. So typically, the first in truck in Seattle, when we show up on scene, it's either going to be declared all four inside, all four on top, or two in, two out, meaning two in for search and two as outside. So ladders, forcible entry, vertical ventilation, positive pressure ventilation, anything like that is going to be handled by the outside team, which is typically the drivers on the tillers in Seattle. The officer and the firefighter, or the two firefighters, if we're riding five, will go inside. If we have a high probability of rescue or an imminent rescue, then it's all members inside.
That's pretty good. Mike, what about you guys up north?
We have three trucks on the scene. You got two trucks, you got the still truck, and the second truck. Everyone has their duties. We're SOP driven, or SOG driven, or general orders driven. Everyone has a task. The word freelancing, I think, is like a truckman's favorite word, because we do good freelancing. I really believe there's good freelancing. We have radios. We stay in contact. We make sure everybody's, you know, accountable and everything like that. So I really don't think we're ever, like, just alone doing whatever you want. We have enough guys to do all kinds of shit or stuff. So it shouldn't be too crazy. The third truck is obviously going to be RIT. We have a RIT truck with a RIT chief standing by. And everything's delegated as the alarms move up, depending on the circumstance. I mean, everything's upgrades if we need more. Sometimes the chief, the VC, can say, hey, I just need two more trucks just for, you know, a lot of truck work. You got a huge four-story U-shaped courtyard building. We need a lot of overhaul. We got to find this thing. So, I mean, we have a lot of things that we could do. And I just absolutely love being on a truck. You can just kind of zoom your way. If you got a good officer, the key word here is trust. He trusts you enough to do your job and not have to babysit you. You know, he knows you're not going to get into a bind. And if you are, you know what to do. You know, either try to get yourself out, or don't be ashamed. God forbid we, you know, get in that matey situation. But they trust you enough to do your job, not get into a tight situation, and do what we need to do. Does that make kind of... That's kind of how this is done. I absolutely enjoy it. And the truck guys got it great. The squad guys got even better. I mean, they're definitely all by themselves, and there's six of them. So, I mean, that's even cooler. You know, it's like truck guys on steroids. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's like I said here, we do have SOGs and SOGs that we follow. But, you know, when the task needs to be completed, you know, sometimes three men on the truck, we're having to work individually. The crew that I have, I trust them, you know, 100%. They know what to do when they get there. I don't have to really point my finger and say, hey, we're going to go do this. They know where they're going. I know where they're going as soon as we get off scene, or get on scene. So that's really big, I think, for not just, you know, a three-man truck, but a truck company throughout is, you know, I guess what I'm talking about are riding assignments. You guys got riding assignments up there? Are all over?
Yeah, we got riding assignments, and we send one person to the roof. The driver always goes to the roof, and then so just one person to the roof. I think it's crazy when Brian talks about like a whole company going to the roof. I think the only time we get an officer on the roof is if an engine company goes up there and brings a line. Other than that, it's just firefighters up there. But yeah, it's split up when we get inside, and my guys know what to do. We search our way up, and then we come back down to wherever the fire is at. So I don't usually have to tell my guys what to do unless I call an audible or something. You know, if something's different or we think something else is up, then I might have to redirect them. But the worst thing about working with my guys is that I got to be the brakes all the time because they'll just go and work themselves into a frenzy, and they got to redirect them or keep an eye on them, you know. They just won't stop. So I think that's a good problem to have, though.
Awesome. Awesome. Brian, what about you guys? You guys got writing assignments?
We do. We have writing assignments per position. That goes with every type of operation that we could go on, as well as the tool assignment for that position. We consider our operations, we use the term best practices. Most of our operations are fairly scripted as to our expectations of every member riding on every rig for the sequential arrival of each one of those apparatus. As far as freelancing, most of the truck work we do is essentially freelancing, but the way we get away from it being called freelancing is anytime I initiate an operation, I just simply have to communicate it to IC. If I'm expected on a residential single family that I'm going to ladder and go to the roof with a partner and cut a hole, and I decide to deviate from that best practice, I just simply have to get up on the radio, command from Ladder 11, Team Bravo, we're going to do the following. And then it's not freelancing. So I still have the luxury and the freedom to problem solve and to adjust my tactics based on the needs of the run. But it has to be communicated. Otherwise, I get dinged for doing stuff and not being accountable and not communicating. And personally, I think that's a good way to operate on scene, because I want other people to know what I'm doing so they can support me. And I want other people to know that what I'm doing is supporting them.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, but you guys have so many people on scene. What do you think with these companies that only have like three members on a truck, or they don't have a truck at all? You know, their riding assignment would be a little bit more different. So they're almost having the freelance.
Absolutely. You know, I teach these truck classes all over the country, certainly all over the West Coast, to truck company operations when you don't own a truck. You're showing up on an engine with one career guy and maybe a couple volleys. I see every different type of mixture of personnel and crew and apparatus type, and the job needs to get done. I don't care if you show up on a box. The job needs to get done. So if you've got the training, you've got the tools, you've got the knowledge, you should be able to prioritize your tasks, communicate it. There's got to be somebody in charge of this operation. Just simply communicate it and go to work. It's as simple as that. If you have the luxury of what we do in Seattle, yeah, we're going to be a little more scripted and our expectations are going to be known ahead of time. And there's going to be an expectation of what the first truck, second truck, and writ truck are going to be doing upon arrival.
Great. Mike, what about up in Chicago? You guys got running assignments?
I have great departments around us, and Mavis, it's called Mavis 21, or that division over there where I work part-time in hometown. And we have some of the, I would say, phenomenal short staffed departments around us that have the writing assignments. They just know their task at hand. And what's great about it is that we have the ability to, we try to train together. We try to get on the same page to understand, like, hey, if we're coming, we can help out be the truck company. We can handle that task. It more certainly can be done with three guys. I mean, if you're skilled and you're willing to really do a lot of work, which truck work is work. I mean, you can't just sit down and go, I'm good, I pulled some ceiling, or I'm good, I helped the engine company get the hose line to where we have an obscene amount of jobs we have to cover, and with a minimal amount of time, right? We can't go to Sam's Club, go to aisle 7 and buy more time. It's not going to happen. So whatever time we're giving with the amount of people that we have to deal with that. We have to adapt and overcome. So like I said, I think writing assignments, they're great. They're not bad. I just don't want you to get locked into that. I don't want you to go, well, if I'm sitting here, that's all I can do, you know, or, oh, nope, that's it. the irons guy. Nope, can't touch the can. Can't throw ladders. Nope, says on the engine. Or I'm on the on the irons today. You know, just broaden your horizons. It's called professional development. We have to grow and learn and do more. You're gonna have to do it all. You're like a jack of all trades, master of none. But you're gonna try to have to master being a truck guy. That's for sure. So yeah, writing assignments, they're great. They start you off, but you know, expand off of them. Do more.
Yeah, completely agree with you on that. Again, if you guys want to take a call, the number is 760-454-8852. So if anybody wants to call in, we are willing and wanting to take your call. This is our first show, so I know it's going pretty rough. I do apologize about that. That is 100% my fault. First time doing this, so we're just trying to get used to it. Again, this first show, all we're doing is introducing ourselves and telling you a little bit what made us click into the truck work. And the following shows, we are going to have direct topics. We'll have guests come on the show and have them talk also. Again, if anybody has a question, the number is 760-454-8852. I guess we're not that popular, guys. Nobody wants to call in.
That's right.
That's our
I don't
first
need
show. It is the first show. You know, it's going to go rough. That's what I'm going to say anyway.
Hey, we got four truckmen and one computer. It's got to get a little messy, right?
Oh, it was... Brian, it was something. I kept talking to the computer. Thought it, you know, my voice was going across. I didn't realize I had to talk at all. All right,
that's
guys.
Right.
You know,
that's
the kind
of... Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I was just going to add on to what we were talking about a moment ago is, I couldn't agree more. Is just because you have a writing assignment or a tool assignment, I think that's just a baseline, just so that you kind of have a mental primer when you arrive on scene that I'm not getting off the rig without a task. I'm not getting off the rig without a tool. I'm not getting off the rig not ready to work. You've got to be ready to adjust on the fly. If I'm the irons guy, I may not touch those irons at that incident. I might be totally driven in a different direction. We had a fire recently where we had three well-involved houses on arrival. You can bet the truck didn't do anything but pull lines. First truck, second truck, we're all riding deuce and a half, fighting a lot of fire, trying to turn the tide before we could even think about transitioning to any kind of interior operations. And before I knew it, we had a downtown engine company up on the roof of the third house once we finally went into interior attack mode. So it's not uncommon for the truck to go engine mode and an engine to go truck mode in Seattle. We all are cross-trained. Certainly we have our specialties, but you've got to be ready in this job to adjust on the fly.
Yeah, I second that, Bri. You'll find truck guys, you know, pulling an exposure line for, you know, a second building going. What's nice being on a tower is that, you know, you're the box tower. You're the tower that's the main guy. What's nice about our tower is south, so we take care of the majority of the south side of the city, which is wonderful. Having a tower, you know you're going to work. You know you're going to be doing majority of the work. So it's really cool. But, yeah, Brian, I couldn't agree more. You're definitely going to change modes. You should be... We all studied from the same book, all full firefighter before us, right? And it says before our name. So we all kind of know the same thing on what to do.
Amen to that.
All right, guys. I think since we're not getting anybody to call us in tonight, we're just going to do an hour show. I appreciate you guys coming on tonight. Again, we won't be on next month. We'll be on in November. Be sure to check Facebook, Twitter, and all the little social media sites. We will put that information out. Again, we will have topic-based discussions, so just be on the lookout for that and give us a call when you can. Mike, Sean, Brian, I appreciate you guys coming on tonight, guys. I sure do love you guys and appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Good
yeah,
look. See you later.
Yeah,
care,
I appreciate
guys.
You guys. Thanks for having me on. It's truly an honor to be sharing this blog radio show with you guys. You guys are going to offer a lot to me, and I hope maybe I can throw some nuggets on the table as well. So I look forward to meeting up and talking a little more in the future.
Will do. Mike, any closing statements?
No, I'm more than blessed right now being on a blog with, you know, three of some extraordinary firemen, you know. So I'm just humbled just to be here. So I'm way appreciative of you guys even just saying, hey, are you interested in talking on a blog? It's crazy. So this is a huge honor, so I really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll get the word out and hopefully get some good topics next round. And actually, like, this can be like the start of something good, and hopefully we get some callers and some pickup on this to get some questions out there. There's got to be guys with questions. I know there are.
There's got to be. I guess the first show, they're just not coming in yet. Sean, closing statements?
I got nothing. I had a good time. I look forward to the chatting with you guys, since I don't get to see you in the real world anymore. So, have a good night.
All right, guys, we'll see everybody next show in November. You guys have a good night, and we'll see you.
Bye.